Hi, I'm Lena.
And I'm Amon.
And this is Grounded Geeks,
where we make the geek world relevant.
Yes. First off, apologies for not having an episode last week. I got COVID.
Oh, I thought you were like fighting a kaiju or something.
Ha ha, hilarious, Amon. No, I...
And saving a bus of orphans from a kaiju attack?
What is a kaiju?
Seriously, you're like the worst geek
I am
ever.
The worst geek. Like, I'm ill, okay? I'm recovering.
Giant monsters, like Godzilla is a kaiju.
Oh my god. Okay, whatever. Anyway, I was fighting off the plague, okay, within my body, and I got it from going into the office, so I'm never going into the office again, so that was stupid, and I hate it. Yeah, no one is worth meeting in person anymore. Goodbye. I will spend the rest of my days at home, like Emily Dickinson, who I really love ever since I watched the Apple TV show, and I'm trying to convince him on to do an episode on it, and we will one day.
I still haven't gotten past the first episode.
You're the worst. Okay, anyway, today we are talking about Moon Knight.
Yay!
All right. Moon Knight on that finished airing, premiering, whatever, on
airing.
Disney Plus. Amon, what were your... first impression?
My first impression. Okay. So this was a bit of an emotional roller coaster for me. All right. Mm-hmm. The first episode, I was like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. All right. It had the whole mystery, horror, supernatural thing happening. And then episodes 2 and 3, I was like, oh, okay. This is just Indiana Jones questing now. All right. That seems bland. And then episode 4, I was like, all right, you roped me back in.
You
roped me back in, Oscar Isaac. Well done.
Not even Oscar Isaac, but Mae Kalamaui, who plays Layla El Fuli. I think episode 4, she also roped me back in. I was like, whoa, 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 what's happening here? She was awesome.
Yes, she was. That was awesome. And then episodes 5 and 6, I started to drop off again a little bit. No, episode 5, I was still in. I was still all in. And then the actual finale, I was like, okay.
Yeah. So we talked about this before, but we both felt like it was just like you described it as a mid-season finale.
Yes.
Like it there are
like that.
Like there should be 6 more episodes.
Yeah, at least.
Uncover all this. Yeah, I felt the same way. I felt very underwhelmed by the finale.
Yeah.
And I was confused because watching the finale, I happened to see a bunch of tweets that were like, this was the most amazing finale ever. And then, so that unfortunately hyped me up. And I hate getting hyped up for no reason.
Well, to be fair, everyone also hyped up Loki, and apparently we're the only ones on the planet who thought it was total shit.
We are literally the only ones. I am convinced I need to rewatch Loki because I think during a crucial episode or a crucial moment of the episode, I think I must have been multitasking and not paying attention, and then it just ruined the rest of the show for me. So I think I need to rewatch it because I just...
So I loved what Loki set up, but the show itself was shit, which I okay. Yeah, I stand
well,
by
we
that
have an entire we have an entire episode on that. Today we're talking about Moon Knight.
So
I really...
roller coaster. What was your roller coaster?
Yeah, I also was very... Well, first off, I love Oscar Isaac. I have loved him since 2005, ever since I saw him in The Nativity Story, where he played Joseph. Why were my friends and I going to see The Nativity Story in theaters in high school? I have no idea. Okay? Probably because we were bored out of our minds living in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Y'all were a wild bunch.
I have a feeling we went to the theater wanting to see another movie and then it was sold out. This was back in the day, guys, when you couldn't just buy tickets on your phones. So this was pre-smartphone. So then we were like, okay, I guess we'll see the nativity story. But honestly, seeing his performance as Joseph there, I was like, who is this man? And I need to follow his career now forever. So I'm very happy the rest of the world is finally catching up to how amazing and brilliant Oscar Isaac is. So one, I was already excited for that because I was like, oh my God, they cast Oscar Isaac. Yeah. Two, then I heard Mae Kalamaui was in it. She's in this show called Rummy. And yeah, she plays a sister. Yeah. So I really, really like her in the show Rummy. That's unfortunately the only other thing I've seen her in, but I'm already a huge fan. I did not know she was going to have as big of a role as she has in Moon Knight. I thought she was going to be very much like a very side character. But right. She's more than that in Moon Knight, which is great. Absolutely. And I love that.
She was fantastic.
Yeah. And then the way Oscar Isaac plays Stephen Grant and also Mark Spector and just like bouncing back and forth between those personalities, loved that. Throughout the entire show.
He was so good at it. He really embodied those characters so well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that in general was just so entertaining and fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I do think it got a little like blah in the middle because I was like, what are they looking for? Some Egyptian tomb? Like, what is this for again? What? it just got, like you said, very Indiana Jones, but I was like, why do I care again?
Yeah, I think, and it bothered me that they bounced back and forth in the style of the show so much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Supernatural mystery horror to treasure hunting to mental health and then back to questing and giant fighting a giant light beam in the sky.
Right. Like by the way, that whole scene where Khonshu was like, I can turn back time and show you the night sky, what it was, you know, like 4,000 years ago. And the whole time I was like, there's definitely an app for this. You don't need to do that. Like, there's 1,000% an app for that. I know it exists. So
the
anyway.
Thing that bothered me was like, how did this... So one thing about the show that I enjoyed once episode 4 rolled around was what's real, what's actually happening, what's in his head. I actually really, really enjoyed that. And that scene, I was like, that's happening in his head. There's no way that is part of the real world.
Wait, which part?
The sky moving thing.
How do you know that didn't happen?
No, like that was when he ended up in the mental institute. In episode 4, there's no way that sky moving shit happened because there's no way that would not have. Okay, so you can't move the sky back for just Cairo. All
right? Yeah, it would have happened for the entire world.
It's happening for everybody. There's no way that did not trigger a global panic, all right, and cause the Avengers to show up in Cairo. Like, there's no shit in way. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why that convinced me that all this is happening in his head.
But Layla was there too. Wasn't she seeing it as well?
Yeah. And she was also in the mental institute.
Right. Okay.
Right. You know, like these are all people and characters that all the people in the mental institute were all people that Mark/Steven had interacted with before. Mm-hmm. We saw every single one of them was a character he had interacted with, big or small, at some point in the first 3 episodes.
Right, like, right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
Like there was this one crazy lady there and it's like, oh, that's the lady who he freaked out in the elevator in his apartment.
Yeah. But also, okay, so we also read the comic called
So we read Moon Knight, specifically the run from 2016 to 2017 by Lemire and Smallwood, all right, which is the comic which a bunch of the writers used that specific run for inspiration for the show, mm-hmm, which is why we decided to read it as sort of, you know, background research. You know, we take this podcast very seriously, so we do a lot of research here on Grounded Geeks.
Right, and the reason why I brought it up now is because in the comic, I thought it was very interesting that while I was reading the comic, it kept going back and forth so much between all his different personalities.
Yeah.
And the past and the present and the future.
Yeah.
That you really were unsure of what's real or not. And
yes.
And while reading the comic. Mm-hmm. And I like that the show also tapped into that. Where now, when I'm thinking, I already want to rewatch the whole show now that all 6 episodes are out and I can just binge them. But I'm also just wondering, like, what part of the show was real? And because I think Mark Spector did spend in real life a good amount of time at a mental hospital.
Yeah.
And so that part is real, but you know, like what they showed on the show, like it really makes you wonder, like, okay, what part of it was real, what is real and what's not anymore.
Yeah.
And you kind of get a sense of what it feels like to be Mark Spector / Stephen Grant, because they don't even know what's real.
Right. The thing that I appreciated in the comic that I thought was done really well, that I feel like was a missed opportunity in the show, mm-hmm. is that in the comic, Moon Knight / Mark Spector is going through his whole reality as an insane person who is unsure of what's real, but he is still operating in the world,
right.
as a complete and total crazy person. All right. And in the comic, we're viewing it from his perspective, where he doesn't know who he is, what's real and what isn't. You know, mm-hmm. he's on top of a rooftop. He looks out there. He sees a giant pyramid, but he doesn't know if that's actually real or not, or if he is viewing some reality that is overlapped in a plane of existence or something. He's unsure. But as operating as Moon Knight, it doesn't matter, because the fundamentals of, like, oh, this is a bad thing that I have to stop, or these are people that I have to protect, mm-hmm. still exists through whichever thread of reality, through whichever persona he's inhabiting in that moment. So as the reader, we don't know what's necessarily real and what's not. We just know that he also doesn't know what's real and what's not, and is still able to go through reality, which I thought was kind of a missed opportunity on the show, where they really could have gone into that so much deeper. I think by the time episode 6 rolled around of the show, it's pretty clear what's real and what isn't.
Yeah. Wait, what do you think was real and what isn't?
Oh, I mean, the time that he spent in episodes 4 and 5 in the mental institute were his.
He only went in the mental institute death. At the end of episode 4, right? It was mainly episode 5 that he was in the mental institute. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was at the beginning of episode 4, because at the end of episode 3, he got shot.
No, that was the end of episode 4.
Oh. I'm totally mixing it up. Either way, after he got shot, all right, mm-hmm. The end of the show made it very clear that that was all his sort of post-death experience.
Right, right.
All right. Mm-hmm. Therefore, in his head.
But I do think he has spent time in a mental institute.
Yeah.
At some
point
in his life, right?
At some point in his life, yeah. But yeah. I'm talking about in that moment in the show,
right.
where we were unsure, like, wait, did everything that just happened, was that just, like, mm-hmm. all make-believe in his, like, a hallucination that he's having?
Yeah.
You know? Is that what we're experiencing? And then by the end of the show, it was very clear, no, it's not, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I wish they hadn't done that. I feel like it was a missed opportunity for them to really mess with the audience.
I think they have. I mean, I really, really hope they do at least one more season, and like a proper season.
Yeah.
And so I really do hope they dive more into that, because they also introduced in the post-credit scene of the last episode Jake Lockley.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well.
Who's the third persona who was constantly teased throughout the show.
Which I hate that they teased him, but didn't actually give him any proper screen time in the show, you know?
Yeah. He was just the deus ex machina of getting out of a really tough situation.
Yeah, exactly. And so, yeah, I agree with you that I wish they had spent more of the show really diving into the mental health aspect of it all and having these different personalities and how he struggles with them. Obviously, you have to introduce the Egyptian gods at some point, you know, because of Moon Knight, Khonshu, how he gets his powers, whatever.
Right.
But I wish it didn't turn into like this weird, like, ooh, like, let's go find some treasure or whatever. We need to find the statue of Ammit or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And that was a bit too... to me, I don't know. So it just,
it was a little blah.
Yeah, it was a little blah, and there were so many other parts of him and his story that they could have dove deeper into.
Yeah.
So, and I know, like everyone that I've talked to, their favorite episode by far was episode 5, where it's the post death scene, and Mark and Steven are basically like
talking to each other.
Like Steven is finally figuring out why he came to exist.
Right.
And they figure out the origin of his mental illness.
That was a beautiful, beautifully done.
That episode was brilliant.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted more of. And so anyway, but what did you think of the MCU's, like the TV show's version of his mental illness origin story versus what's in the comics? Because they're very different.
They are very different. I liked it better in the show, actually.
Same.
That it was triggered by a specific event, by a specific trauma and a specific set of traumas following that, as opposed to in the comic where it's just inherent in him.
Yeah.
Now, that's not to... I'm not speaking to the believability or anything like that of one over the other. I can't speak from personal experience or anything like that, but I'm sure that there are people who fall into both types, whose specific mental illnesses fall into either of these camps. But as from a pure storytelling perspective, I enjoyed the origin story of Mark Spector's mental illness in the show better than I did in the comics.
Yeah, I agree. It obviously pulled on a lot more heartstrings in the show. I mean, you have to if you're going to make a TV show out of it.
Yeah.
So, but I had a conversation about this with some friends where we thought it was so interesting that it was Mark's mom who was abusive versus his dad.
Yes.
Where there are so many, not even just comic book characters, characters in general, where a lot of times the father is the abusive one. And so, and the thing is, I mean, she was horribly abusive. This does not excuse her behavior, but clearly she had mental health issues as well that no one was addressing or helping her get the help that she needed. And yeah, that was so, just switching like the parental roles in that was so interesting to see for me.
Yeah. I thought that was really, really well done. Can we get into the Egyptian gods aspect of this now?
Duh, of course.
Okay. Yeah. I thought they made some very interesting choices in the show. And when I say interesting, I mean wrong choices in the show. All right. I don't know why Ammit was the bad guy or the bad guy god, so to speak. Sorry, small backtrack. Ethan Hawke was fantastic.
Yes. Loved him.
As Harrow. He was brilliant, not just as the cult leader bad guy, but also when he was playing the role of the psychiatrist. I thought he was just as good in inhabiting both of those roles in a very believable way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the same way that Oscar Isaac was inhabiting Stephen Grant and Mark Spector in where like when he was playing one role, it was like, oh, you're this character. And when right. he's playing the, it's like, oh, you are this character. Like just even the way he physically carried himself and his demeanor and everything, it was very, very thorough, you know, like what a great actor. And the same thing with Ethan Hawke, you know, when he was Arthur Harrow, he fully embodied that role as cult leader, as somebody who's doing bad things to get to make a better world, you know, and the psychiatrist who is genuinely trying to help his patient, you know, like he embodied both of those roles so, so well. And I thought he was brilliant. Back to the Egyptian gods. I don't know why Amut in Egyptian mythology is the devourer of souls, but she stands behind the scales of Ma'at, which is that scale with the feather and weighing the heart. You know, she stands behind there and then abides by the judgment of it.
Right. All right.
And then she devours the soul of bad people, you know? Yeah. And I don't know why she was I guess I can kind of see how she was chosen as the bad guy, but she doesn't actually play that role in Egyptian mythology. She is not the one who is judging people. She carries out the punishment of a judgment, you know?
Yeah. So, but the thing is, well, the show made it sound like she judges people before they've done whatever they're going to do.
Yes, which is not in Egyptian mythology is what I'm saying.
That's not. Okay. Yeah. So yeah,
that's not
that was in the show and that they did on their own. Okay.
Yes, exactly. The other thing, I don't know why they had Tawaret, the hippo goddess lady, in there at all. Tawaret is a goddess of fertility and protection who was a household goddess for a lot of ancient Egyptians.
Oh,
all right. She did not have a major role in death or carrying out judgments or ferrying souls or anything like that. It is the god Anubis who has the head of a jackal.
Yeah.
Who is the sort of ferryman of souls.
Why did they do
the Egyptian
that?
Afterlife.
That's because in the comic, it is Anubis.
It is Anubis,
like burying
yeah.
them and whatever. But
yeah, yeah.
Why did they change that? Did they feel like they needed? No, Amut is a female god.
Yeah.
Right? Goddess.
Yeah.
So I was like, did they need another female? But no, they had that. So
no,
I don't know what their deal was.
Yeah, they didn't. I don't think they did. And like, it, you know me, it always irks me when creatives take too much creative liberty. With already established mythology.
Yeah.
You know, the portrayal of the Duat, I think, was in pretty much in line.
What was the Duat again? Sorry.
That's that empty desert area in the afterlife where the boat is going through.
Right.
What happens to the souls falling into the Duat and turning into sand statues? I don't think that's in Egyptian mythology at all. And the scales aren't just like sitting on the fucking boat. All right?
Right.
Like you go into, you are judged. There's Osiris there and Anubis and I'm there judging you and weighing your heart on the scales of order, the scales of Ma'at. You know, like that's how the afterlife works in ancient Egyptian mythology. Like,
I feel like though, did they not offer some sort of explanation for why Tawaret was there? Like, she was holding, like, flashcards, right? Because she was like, and welcome, you know? Like, she
was just
know
like,
what
it's
she was
been
doing.
A long time since anybody's come through here, basically. Which makes sense because not too many people follow the ancient Egyptian religions anymore. And she also referenced then the ancestral plane from Black Panther.
Yes.
You know, being like, I did thoroughly enjoy that. And
that
it actually fits in with this afterlife philosophy, I guess, laid out by one of my favorite authors, Terry Pratchett, who wrote a series of books in this world, in this made up world called Discworld. And in that, when you die, you experience what you believe. So if you believe in reincarnation and genuinely believe it, you will be reincarnated. If you believe in XYZ afterlife, you will go through that afterlife.
Yeah.
All right. So I thought that was just a fun little thing.
Aside from the mention of the ancestral plane, was there any other reference to the rest of the MCU or crossover or something like that happening that you noticed? Because I don't think I noticed anything else.
I didn't notice anything else. Even when in like the first episode, maybe when Arthur Harrow is maybe in the second episode, when he's talking to Steven in the museum and is talking about all these calamities that could have been avoided if Amut was free and getting rid of bad people before they did bad things. He never mentioned the blip, for example.
Yeah. Yeah, you know? That's true. Mm-hmm.
He mentioned things that actually happened in history, but none of that shit.
Yeah, that's what another reason that worries me that they've kept this so separate from the MCU is that, like, I'm worried that, you know, Kevin Feige and all the other Marvel people will not feel compelled to make another season of Moon Knight, which is just too bad because...
And sad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel very annoyed because they do this a lot to minority characters where they'll just sort of tease something like, oh, here's a little mini series, you know, and that's it. Right. Have fun. And,
right.
And it's like, well, this was barely anything. But in the meantime, you know, like Zack Snyder keeps getting to make as many fucking movies as he wants, you know, it's just annoying. And it's like, it was such a huge deal. I loved that they got an Egyptian director to make Moon Knight. The incorporation of actual Egyptian culture and music was awesome. I loved it.
I love the portrayal of Cairo.
Yeah. I don't know if I've mentioned on this podcast, but I studied abroad in Egypt in Cairo for a year before the Arab Spring. But there were a lot of elements of it that I was like, ooh, that's so fun. You know, I'm not Egyptian myself, obviously, but like I could even recognize like, oh my gosh, like, you know, that is, I kind of recognize that piece of music. I definitely know where that, you know, area of Cairo is or something or whatever. So I thought that was really cool. And so I just think it would be such a disservice if they just left it at these little six episodes.
Right. Yeah. I also think that, and I wish actually they had delved a little bit more into this in both the comic run that we read, as well as the show. And that is Mark being Jewish.
Yeah, they really, I thought there was going to be more of that in the comic. And I know people were, before Moon Knight came out, I think especially Jewish people were really worried that Marvel was going to really downplay his Jewishness. And although I don't know.
I didn't think it was any more downplayed or upplayed or like they serviced his faith the exact same amount that they did in the comic that inspired this specific show.
I would say that the TV show displayed more of his Jewishness than the comic. A little bit more,
because, but not much more.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking because that scene where, and also interesting that it was his mother's funeral versus his dad's in the comic. Anyway, that scene where he's just standing outside their home and his dad sees him and he's like trying to gesture him to come in.
Right.
And he's like, nope. And then, you know, he just walks down the street and then he collapses and like turns into Stephen Grant.
Wakes up Stephen.
And so I guess that scene was just so powerful. And he's wearing a yarmulke in that scene. And like visually, it was very powerful to see so many aspects of his identity all just kind of colliding there.
They had a scene just like that in the comic, if you remember, except he's actually at the funeral.
Yeah, he's talking to his mom.
But the comic is so much longer that even though it's the same, maybe the same amount of time, it's a much smaller percentage of the story in the comic run. But I was specifically thinking that delving more into his Jewishness would have been very interesting because he's an avatar of an Egyptian god. At the time, that Judaism came around. The world was every country, civilization, city, state had their own major god. All right. Mm-hmm. And the way the world operated theologically is that every time there was a war, there's a war in our world, which is actually reflecting a celestial war between the gods of the two respective warring parties. All right. And so if you won, not only did you win your war, your god defeated the other people's god. All right. So even though there were different religions, they still acknowledged the existence of each other's deities.
Mm-hmm.
The big innovation that Judaism brought about at that time was that they said that not only is our God the greatest God, he's the only God.
Right.
Okay. So like all of your, that was a huge innovation at that time. I say innovation, but it was a new concept at that time.
Yeah.
Nobody had ever really thought in that way before.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Where like your God is the real God and other gods aren't real at all. You know,
yeah.
This was really new and innovative. And I think that delving more into the theology, that there's a lot more story that could be told with Mark coming to grips with his Jewish faith and meeting Khonshu, where Khonshu is saying, I am a God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And a whole thing there about Mark being like, you can't be a God. There's only one God, you know?
Right.
I think that there could have been a lot more to grapple with in that, if they, a lot more story to tell if they grappled with that conflict.
Yeah. I wonder if Disney would ever do that though.
No, they obviously wouldn't, but it would be nice. All right.
It would be so fascinating and interesting.
Yeah.
To see that type of conversation play out. This reminds me of that movie. What was it called? Was it called The Two Popes that we saw? Didn't we see it all together?
No. At
our parents' house. Anyway, it's about Pope Benedict the, I forget what number he is.
16th.
And then Pope Francis. And I'm totally blanking on who plays both of them, but very famous actors play them. And the whole movie is just like this conversation that they're having about their own interpretations and stuff of religion. Hmm. And so it was really good. It's on Netflix. Really well done.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, it's really well done. And so that's what it kind of reminded me of. That would have been interesting to see.
And I think that's something that could have also fed more deeply into Mark's insanity.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. where the conflict of like, wait, I am coming across something that is so fundamentally counter to what I believe.
But we also don't know like how strong is his Jewish faith. You know, there's plenty of people who grew up in religious households, but they themselves aren't that religious. Is that the same case for Mark? Or
but
was he actually genuinely very religious?
There's a difference, I think, between being religious in terms of wanting and needing to follow all the rules versus being religious in the sense of your faith is what forms a big part of your understanding about how the world and the hereafter work.
Yeah, but I didn't even get that sense in the comics.
Yeah, they didn't. That was a lost opportunity in the comics as well.
Yeah, it totally was.
I'm just ranting at everybody now.
yeah.
Do more, guys. Do more.
Yeah. Another thing that I really appreciate the TV show doing and changing from the comic mm-hmm. is the whole character of Marlene.
Oh, yes.
Who I was like, I'm sorry. I really don't need a blonde white lady to be like digging up Egyptian tombs and what I don't know. Like, I just don't want it. So I thought that was very smart to change that character to Layla El Fouli, who is actual Egyptian.
Yeah.
And yeah, like that just felt so much better in general. And Marlene can just, we never need to hear from Marlene.
She was pretty, yeah. Like, it didn't make any sense. I also
thought it was very strange in the comic. You know, they in the comic book, they escape from the hospital.
Right.
Like, him, Marlene, whoever the hell Gina is. Still don't really know who Gina is. and Frenchy and Crawley. Even right. Crawley, I'm like, I get you're an old man and a friend, but like, who are you aside from that? And so they all escape together, and then Mark and Marlene had run off and whatever, and then he gets lost in his brain and then loses her. And then we never find out where is Marlene in the present day.
That's
in
true.
The comic, right?
Yeah.
That was weird.
To be fair, this was a very specific comic run. We don't, like, I don't know about you, but I haven't read any other Moon Knight comics before this.
Right.
But there are comics before this. So those might be established characters from before.
No, I know. And I'm saying for this specific run, they showed Marlene doing whatever things.
It was, it
and they just closed. Literally dropped her off, and it's like, okay, hello?
It wasn't a fully closed loop story, for sure. A lot like the show. Left me hanging on a few details.
Yeah. That's true. That was another thing, actually, that they copied from the comic. At the end of the TV show, I was hoping they were going to show one last scene with Layla.
Yeah.
But no, it's like, okay, so you're back at your flat.
Yeah.
And like, I get they were trying to do a full circle moment there where it's like in the beginning of the show, Steven wakes up, right? And he does not know Mark's deal or whatever. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know that he has a split personality. And then at the end of the show, they both also wake up in the bed again, but they both are aware of each other and have embraced each other and all that.
Yes.
So that was like nice, I guess, but still so unsatisfying.
One scene that really, speaking of Layla, that really jumped out at me was when she became the avatar of Tawaret.
Yes.
All right. And she is like, saves this van full of
Kids? A family.
No, like a family. And you know, she's got her full like Egyptian goddess outfit on and everything with the wings and everything. And this little girl is just like, oh my God, are you an Egyptian superhero? And Layla is just like, yes.
Yeah.
Like she takes a moment and thinks about the question and then just goes, yes.
Yeah.
And that moment for me, I don't know what the showrunners were thinking or the writers were thinking when they wrote that scene in. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was just a really powerful scene.
Yeah.
Because even in the MCU, all right, every country does not have its own superhero.
Right.
All of the Avengers are based out of the U.S.
And New York.
and specifically New York. All right. But
we don't even have geographical diversity within the U.S. It's kind of ridiculous.
But there aren't superheroes from anywhere else that are at least known.
Yeah.
Okay. And that was a really powerful moment for me because all of a sudden this little Egyptian girl is like, I've got a superhero I can call my own.
Yeah. That was amazing. And I don't know if you saw it, but the director of Moon Knight, Mohamed Diab, he also posted a photo of Layla, like spreading out her wings and stuff. And then next to it was a photo of his daughter, who also has like very, very curly Egyptian hair. And he basically was saying, like, he did this for his daughter because his daughter has always, she has always, like, hated her hair. She's always wanted straight hair and all this stuff. And just even things like that. And I was like, this is so precious. I love it so much. No, I love that. The only thing I didn't like about her costume is it reminded me too much of Wonder Woman. And while I love Wonder Woman, the character, minus the second movie that was hot garbage. But while I love the Wonder Woman character, not a huge fan of Gal Gadot. So I didn't like being reminded of her while watching this show. So that was my only thing. But otherwise, she looked amazing. Layla looked incredible in that costume.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. It really fit in with the whole ancient Egyptian vibe and, you know, the kind of like it all made sense to me. I loved the costuming.
Yeah,
you know,
no, it was
of the whole show. I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah. And speaking of other scenes that I really, really loved, this goes back to the mental health aspect of the show. But I forget what episode this is, like episode 2 or 3, when I think it's Steven. He's Steven at the time. He's being shown around by Harrow. mm-hmm. his like being shown the cult or whatever the hell it yeah. is. And and you know, Harrow is saying to him, he's like, you're broken, blah blah blah. And then
right.
and he just I love Oscar Isaac so much. The way he delivers this line, he's like, I'm not broken. I just need some help. And yeah. I just, that was such a good line, you know, and it's such, something so powerful that everyone needs to hear, you know, yeah. at some point we all feel pretty broken in our lives. Mm-hmm. And, but that doesn't mean we actually are. And anyway, that was amazing. And then in the finale, one of my other favorite lines was when Mark goes back to like, he dives into the sands and goes to save Steven.
Right.
And
oh, that was a beautiful moment.
Yeah. And he says something like, you know, like, you have always been my superpower.
Yeah.
And man, I was like, that is so good. I love that. So in terms of, even though we wanted more from the mental health stuff, I thought this was a good sort of through line, yeah. having moments, scenes like these throughout the show mm-hmm. that were touching on that.
Yeah. The one thing that was missing that was in the comic is the conversations that Mark has with Khonshu, where yeah. Khonshu is saying, I mean, he's an Egyptian god, so he's a little bit of a prick.
Yeah.
All right? He's like, Mark, you have a weak mind. Mm-hmm. All right. You know, you have a weak mind. You must know by now that you have a weak mind. That's why I chose you. That's why you yeah. can be Moon Knight. You know, in a sense, what Khonshu is saying in a very sort of demeaning kind of manner mm-hmm. and in a patronizing manner is that your specific insanity is what allows you to be Moon Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you were not, quote unquote, broken. And if right. you did not have a weak mind, you could not be Moon Knight. Yeah. And I thought that was also, that's also an interesting, a good message, I think, that they could have used in the show as well.
Yeah.
Where it's like you, it doesn't have to be a weakness. Weaknesses can be strengths.
Yeah.
You know, it reminded me of the story I heard about an attorney in law school who was dyslexic. I mean, this was an older guy, not somebody who I went to school with. But this guy was dyslexic. And I can't remember his name. Otherwise, I'd mention it, put in a reference, but I have no idea. I can't remember for the life of me. But he's dyslexic, can't read too good, but he is one of the best trial attorneys in the country because he's dyslexic and has difficulty reading, he has forced himself to have an excellent memory.
Wow.
All right. Mm-hmm. There'll be like a week long testimony. And on like day five, he'll be like, wait, 3 days ago, you said this one thing,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you backtracking on that?
Yeah.
You know, like he'll remember it and he's not relying on written notes or recordings for it, which is what makes him an excellent, excellent trial attorney.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weakness that is a very specific strength
yeah.
of his, mm-hmm. you know? And yeah. I think that's a message that all of us should hear, you know, if we're not mm-hmm. good at something, maybe yeah. it forces us to be good at something else, you know.
I or do think
maybe it's something that allows us to be a superhero.
Yeah. I do think Moon Knight is, I think, the only comic book hero, at least from the major like Marvel mm-hmm. DC comics, that full on talks about mental health like this in a very open way.
Yes.
Except the last Batman movie, I think, finally touched on it. Right. And I was like, yeah, can we talk about how Batman is not well? Like, so I really think it is actually, this conversation applies to pretty much all the superheroes. Like, none of them are well. You know, like they've got issues. They have so much trauma they're dealing with. Holy crap.
If you feel the need to put on a costume and a mask and go beat up people.
Yeah.
You need help.
Yeah. And I think, okay, I'm just going to put this out there in the universe, but I would absolutely love it if they made even some sort of spin-off TV show mm-hmm. where like Moon Knight is leading a therapy session, a group therapy session with all the other MCU characters. I would love that. I think that would be so good.
I would want it to be a comedy.
Yeah.
Not but in a way that's making fun of
no
the trauma that everybody is going through in the MCU, clearly. But I just feel like one could have a lot of comedic moments.
Oh, in, for sure.
In,
for
in
sure.
a show like that and make it fun.
Obviously, yes. But yeah. I just want that to happen. So. I want that so bad. Because we all need to talk about our feelings, clearly. That's what...
Clearly.
Yeah.
And in Mark's case, talk about them to himself.
Right. Yeah. So there.
Yeah.
Anyway, was there anything else?
I think I'm all out.
Same. That was a lot. And I appreciated it. And I certainly hope there's going to be more Moon Knight.
They really need to make more Moon Knight. Like, I'm going to be so pissed if they just leave us hanging with that post-credit scene.
Know,
where it's like, are you seriously going to tease that and not have a season two? Like, that's ridiculous.
Like, at least just wrap it up, you know, properly.
Properly.
Yeah.
Properly. Yeah.
Anyway, well, as always, thanks for listening to Grounded Geeks.
And thanks for sticking with us through all of the craziness of this episode.
Yes. Bye.
Catch you next time.